hope to do over the next couple of months on this first Tuesday of the month is to just break down a segment of a piece of diversity and let God really just have his way. So with that, Brother Parks, if you can just let the people really get an understanding of who you are and tell us about what your view of diversity is and how important it is from your context.
Well, Brother Dunlap, I tell you, one of the biggest things was when I listened to your last show, I really had to go back and like one of the gentlemen said, I had to go back and look up the word diversity, really, and to find out, because you and I have traveled in many different areas. We've both been military. I've been, spent almost 21 years in the military, and that was really a culture shock for me. Coming from I'm an old Southern boy from the country. I was born and raised in Millersville, Georgia, and lived in Columbus, Georgia. Joined the military straight out of high school. But to really, when I joined the military, it was really a big a melting pot of different cultures, different ethnic backgrounds that had to deal with, had to live with, had to share with, had to do things with. But one of the biggest things, really, when I thought about it, when I went back to do some research to look up, define the word diversity, one of the biggest things that stood out was a variety of people, different from the norm, as you covered in your last show. And I said, well, wow. Really, over the 20 years of military and deploying to different countries and having to do things with other people, males and females of diverse cultures and backgrounds and things of that nature, it really gave me an idea of what variety looks like. And really, I'm going to just stop right there for a minute and pass the ball back to you and then we'll go further into that about the military portion of it.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well,
I
don't know if I said it last month, but one of the things, since we're on here, I recall from when I was 18 years old and went into the military, it really opened my eyes, and I really believe that my military experience and being exposed into the military at an early age in life is really what is something that God has used to be able to make me acceptable in this area of diversity. From the streets of Philly, I can kind of guarantee it. If I would have stayed in my neighborhood, which was primarily African-American, primarily of one economic status, I find it hard to believe that I would have been as accepting to other people as I am right now.
Exactly. And I would say the same for me. Like I said, I'm from the country. I was born and raised in Millersville, Georgia. Worked on a farm when I was growing up as a child. Learned to milk the cow, all that. But ended up living in the city for a brief period of time. So yeah, I relate to you when you say you were raised in a black majority black society. Black culture, and having to join the military because, you know, back in those days, it was the early 80s for me. It was one of those times where I was raised in a single-parent home, and my mother told me, she said, look, son, I can't send you to college, but I can sure put you in the military. and really, I think that was one of the best things that she could have ever done for me over those 20 plus years, because it allowed me the opportunity to really learn about different people, different race, different cultures, to really see that there was more than just the norm for me, which was living in a black society.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. One of the things that I thought about, you know, I've really been praying over the past month of, okay, God, what is it that you want your people to hear? How can we present this in a way so that individuals are able to see it differently?
Right.
the word that came to me, and this is not the word we were talking about before the show, Brother Parks, but this is just another one.
Right.
The importance of visualization when it comes to diversity. And what I mean by that is sometimes we may think that we're living within diversity until we see it in action or someone points it out to us, whether they point out to us that we're not living within diversity or that we are. And it may just be that this is just what we've been doing for all of our life. So, for example, if you go to the Blog Talk Radio site for tonight's show, there's several pictures on there. And one of the pictures was two babies. One was a white baby and one was a black baby. And when you look at those pictures, both of the babies are smiling and they're happy. They have no cares, no worries. You don't see all of that. You don't see discord and dysfunctionality and things of that nature. Another one was a picture of various Coca-Cola bottles at the Coca-Cola Center in Atlanta, Georgia. And what it represents is a variety of different Coca-Cola products in countries all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was very interesting because you and I both have traveled to foreign countries, military and government-wise, and others. So the other picture was a child drew a picture of a scene from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, where Peter was looking up and saw the sheet coming down with all the animals in it. And that's just a couple of them. What's your thoughts on that, and how does that play into diversity, and what's your thoughts on visualization?
Well, one of the biggest things is that we are raised in certain environments. Yeah, I think it's, your environment has a lot to do with how you visualize what diversity looks like. Until someone comes out and tells you, hey, look, this is different than that. You will have a idea or have a sense of idea of believing that this is the norm for you. This is how I was raised. This is what we did when we was growing up. This is how life is for us, and there's no change. And I think that because on the early side of the spectrum, as a child, I knew that my life was raised around family members and people in the community. You know, back in the day, they always say that it takes a village to raise a child. That village that I lived in was pretty much just all black. And that was pretty much my visual. That's the visual that I got all those years. Up until the time when it was time for me to go to elementary school, we were like gypsies to a certain degree, because then during that time period, my mother and father divorced, so we started to travel different places and seeing different things, and to be exposed to different culture. We left the South, we left Georgia, and moved to Washington D.C. So you can imagine now. What a culture shock it was for me at a young age in elementary school to be in school with kids of different cultures, white, black, Puerto Rican, Mexican, and all of that in one grade, elementary school grade. And so here it is now. I'm asking teacher, I'm asking my mother, and asking anybody else, who is this? So I'm getting another visual of what's going on in the society that I'm in now. I'm in a different location now. It all depends on I think the environment has a lot to do with what you see, what you're exposed to. It's the exposure that causes you to see things differently.
Mm-hmm. That's it. One of the things about what you said about being a young person, I really believe that some of that culture shock would not happen as often if we as parents expose our children to diversity at a very young age. Now, I think it's a natural instinct that babies or young children don't care what color you look like. They just want to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just want to have fun. And I believe that concept, and this is my personal belief, I believe that same concept can ring true in our youth, in our old age, and in our manhood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not to put it on, you know, male, female, gender, but you understand the point that I'm trying to make. We can we can have that same type of lifestyle.
Right.
Where we're not so consumed with this person looks like this, this person has this socioeconomic status, so I can't be in fellowship or communion with them, whatever the case may be. One of the other pictures, since we're still on visualization, one of the other pictures on the site, and I hope the listeners will go back and take a look at it, is
mm-hmm.
a set of praying hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you look at it, there's one hand that is one color and another hand that is another color.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you try to visualize that, you would see that when we put our hands together to pray,
mm-hmm.
it's not a difficult thing for us to do.
Right.
But for me to put
right.
one hand up, my left hand up, and you to take your right hand, and for us to connect those two hands together.
Wow.
That means we both have to be in a close proximity to make that happen.
Exactly, exactly.
So if we don't embrace diversity, if we don't want to be around the other person, quote unquote, regardless of whatever the specific characteristic is, that closeness, that relationship factor, really
mm-hmm.
doesn't seem like it's going to be able to be there like we know it should be and like we believe God will want it to be.
Right, right. I think also when we get to that point of realizing that it's going to take that unity in the spirit first, and then unity in the natural, for us to come together and embrace the variety of what we have, then really we can get away from the different stereotypes and the different opinions of how we worship together. Of course, you and I have talked many a times about the church that you attend, and I've talked to you about the church that I attend. I don't know if we want to go there right now, but it just came up in my spirit to go ahead and start talking about it. but I'll just say the church that I attend to, that I attend here in Columbus, Georgia, we're just majority is just a black church. We're non-denominational, but one of the biggest things that we embrace is that we pray for the masses. That God is sending our way. We're actually praying for diversity to take place in our church, so that when the different colors or the different group of people, nationality or people start to come, we are prepared to relate to them according to the Word of God. Amen.
You dropped the mic on him, brother. You dropped the mic.
Did it?
Yeah, that's okay, though. That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You see,
sometimes we have to just take time and take the opportunity just to sit back and think on these things.
Uh-huh, right.
Sometimes it's not all about us just communicating. Sometimes it's about us listening and letting God
right.
speak to our spirits.
Right.
Let me just take a moment and just to say that if there's anybody that wants to join in on the conversation, we welcome you to do that. This is a conversation that myself and Brother Parks are having right now, but we're very interested in your thoughts and your experiences to this important subject of diversity. Because one of the things we recognize is there's often not enough outlets for us to be able to talk about a lot of different things that we've been talking about here on Freedom Network. So, if you would like to join into the conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad. It will light up, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Now, Brother Park.
Yes, sir.
Since you started going there.
Yes, sir.
We might as well just let God have his way. let me let you know and let our listeners know
okay.
somewhere how this was birthed. Now, before Sister Skeen ever asked me to to host the show in her absence, God had spoke to me about diversity. And I started working, I don't know what it was. I didn't know if it was a sermon. I didn't know if it was a lesson. I had no idea, but I just started writing.
Right.
And then after about 2 weeks, a couple of questions came to mind. One of them was, how is diversity viewed in your congregation?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do members handle accepting diversity?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last question was, is this a silent subject where you're at? Now, before we, you know, we can talk about our own churches, but let me share what some individuals have responded to that question. I sent that question out to about 30 individuals, and here are some of the responses. One of them was, we had one white man and are praying for more to come to the harvest.
Oh, my.
That was you, whether you realize it or not.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
Another one was, my congregation is mostly black with a few Mexicans and a couple of whites.
Okay.
When I was in Guam, it was balanced. In Columbus, Georgia, it was mostly whites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another comment or response was, well, if you're talking about race, it hasn't been a subject. But as far as background, schooling, et cetera, they seem to understand.
Right.
Two more, and then we can just let it go.
Okay.
Diversity is not a priority at our church, but it should be, as it represents a huge opportunity for growth and for us to carry out our mission. And the last one, Brother Parks and listeners, was a Army chaplain responded back and said, diversity, and I'm paraphrasing, he said diversity was not practiced or is practiced in his church in Clarksville, Georgia. But when he was in Kentucky, it was not practiced, and the pillars, quote unquote, of the church fought against it. And this was one reason why I lost my position or lost my church. He was a pastor.
Wow.
Those are some deep responses. And I think, and I'll let you just jump in on that, but the thing that I think about is these are responses from individuals who I had contact with. What about the individuals that did not get the survey that I sent out?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your thoughts on how diversity is viewed in the congregation? I know you said you were praying for more diversity in your congregation, but
exactly.
Just take the time to respond. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm speaking from what we're doing at the church that I belong to. We're in that season where God is speaking to us about territorial expansion. And in the process of territory to gain territory, you're going to have to confront or you're going to have to interact with different cultures, different ethnic backgrounds, social backgrounds of people in the territory that God is sending you to. Amen.
Wow.
And see, the thing about that is that if we have to pray in the churches, we really have to pray that God prepare us for the territory.
Yes, sir.
Because I could look at it in the sense of, as a military soldier, we go into a country and we're told, hey, this is the area that we're going to take over. We go in there and take it by force. And that's what we've been doing for years in such at a certain degree. But now that I'm a soldier in God's army, I have to look at it in the sense that God is saying, this territory that I'm sending you to, that you're not going to – it's not going to be easy just to come in and take it like you used to do when you was in the military. You just can't go in and force your way in and take it. Now you have to go in the authority that God has given you and in the power that he's given you to go in. But you got to go in and be able to relate, not to conform. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. not to conform to worldly ideas or worldly ways, but go in and be able to bring the anointing, bring the power of God into that area, if that's the territory that God is calling you to go into. So I think that at this point here, the church is, the church, which is us, we are the church, you have to really be careful what you pray for. Because the thing about that is, if God is calling you to a certain territory, you're not only going to face different diversities of people, but you're going to face everything that's in that territory. You understand what I'm saying? So there's more than just people that you're going to come up against. But God has to empower you to go into the land and take the land that you're going into. Now, I kind of went that way with it, but to come back to what you were saying about how do I do the diversity, we really have to understand that it's going to take more than just my own skin color or my own ethnic background, my own social background, my own financial status, whatever it is that you want to say that you are. It's going to take more than that to relate to what's in what's in that group of people, and how to relate to that group of people is the big thing also. So that's what I have to say about that in so many words.
Brother Park, let me tell you, I can't hear what's on the other end of everybody who is listening right now. We have a lot of listeners actually on the line right now, but I can I think I could feel in my spirit that you have a whole bunch of people out there saying amen, amen, amen to the things that you have just said. So as we say amen and we come into agreement with that, and that means that we have to be prepared to go forth to this territory, as you mentioned, to do what God has called us to do in this particular area.
Right.
One of the things about diversity, you know, the name of the show is Living with Diversity, or Living Within Diversity. So diversity is not this abstract thing that just sits up there on the mantelpiece.
Right.
It is something that we must be consciously aware of our surroundings.
Exactly.
As ministers and men and women of God, we never know who we're coming in contact with.
Exactly.
We never know who God has sent across our path to bless us, to help us.
That's right. Sow
something into our lives, and I need to go here, sow something into our ministries.
That's right. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes.
So as a minister, I'm really, really conscious of that. And, again, I know I have a different background because of my personal experiences. But it's just like God bringing you out of something. When God brings you out of something and he allows you to see whatever it was he brought you out of, I believe we have a legal obligation with God to do something with that and to bless and help somebody else. So I know being on this journey is a very good thing. Let me take a quick second and Shelly Caldwell, if you're out there, we just want to let's see if we have anybody out there in the social media realm. And Shelly, are you there?
Hey, are you there?
Yes, we are. How you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good.
Great. You guys are talking good tonight. You're talking real good. I tell you what, it's quiet over here in the chat room, but let me encourage everyone. We are here in the chat room weekly, taking your comments. If you're online listening, even on Facebook, we are able to listen to your comments live on the thread as we post the topics each week. And if you're out on Twitter, we are at We Speak Radio every week, all day, every day, even when the show is not playing. You are welcome to make your comments there on Twitter and keep the dialogue going here on Freedom Radio about whatever it is that we're talking about each week. So, look, JR, I want you guys to go ahead. I don't want to break the flow. You keep going, and if I get someone in the chat room and some comments coming on Facebook, I'll send you a little flag there and you bring it back over to me, okay?
All right. Thank you, Shelly.
Mm-hmm.
We thank Shelly because she monitors all that social media networking, and those are those things that I'm just not able to do. I can't do some of those things and monitor the show and all of that. So we thank God for the help that he's provided to us. We do have one person that is calling on the line from last 40097 that looks like they want to make a comment. So caller 0097, you're on.
Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. I have several comments to make. First of all, I'd like to say hi to you all. My first comment, to Brother Parks, he said that their congregation is praying for diversity. I would just like to know, what are you all doing in the sense of preparing for the diverse group of people when they get there? You know, we all come from different walks of life, and we bring our own baggage with us. So your congregation may not be used to the people or the different people who may come. So what are you all doing to prepare your congregation for that diverse group? My second question is, I found that in my circle of friends that they may listen to Joyce Meyer and may listen to Joel Osteen, but if I invite them to come to church with me when I just so happen to go to a predominantly white church, it's a different story. I feel like, well, I found that more people would embrace diversity if they weren't fearful of what other people might think of them. I think they're afraid to try something new for fear of their reputation. I think that's all my comments.
Brother Park,
wow.
Go at it, brother.
Wow. Wow. That's a very good question. And what I want to say about praying for diversity, one of the things that the church I belong to, we are a praying church. We believe that prayer, as the prayers go up, we get answers in return. The fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much, as the word says.
Right.
And when we pray for diversity, God has already ordained a group of people, that he has already set to come to the house. But we're praying for the leading of the Holy Spirit to prepare. We're praying that God prepares us to receive those people and not reject them as they come. One of the biggest things about that you have to be careful is that when God sends the people your way, you don't reject them because of race or because of the way they look or their social background, all of that. We try to make sure that we adhere to the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to that. So we pray for those things, but we also pray that God prepares our hearts to receive, because your heart and your mind have to be open to receive what God is sending. If you have a closed mind and a closed heart, then those people that are coming, that he is sending to come, a lot of times he's sending people to come for healing, to receive what he has for them in the house. And if you have a closed mind and a closed heart, then they will come and then they will leave and not receive what God has for them at that in the house. Amen?
Amen, amen. And this is what I will add. God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Exactly.
It's really simple. I mean, we don't have to get too technical here. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So that means we have to really hold on to God's word and really believe that, okay, if they send this handicapped person to our congregation, we just need to go ahead and we need to roll with it. Because like you said, God has, you know, we believe that God may have sent that person, or that person may believe that God sent them to that particular congregation for whatever it is. I'm a living testament about going to a place for something. When I first started going to the church where I attend now, Auburn Heights Church, I can tell you, brothers, I was hurting inside. There was, you know, we can go back to the last 3 weeks of the show and talk about the shame and things of rejection and things of that nature we were dealing with. But I was dealing with some stuff during that time. And if it wasn't for the openness and the loving arms of the members of my congregation,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where I would be. I probably
right.
wouldn't be Minister Dunlap right now, I can tell you that.
Right.
I probably still wouldn't have the title of husband in front of my name. I can tell you
wow.
that.
Wow.
And like the last caller, I attend a predominantly Caucasian church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here I am, a brother from the streets of Philly. Love my people. And brother, and people will say, you know what, why are you over there? Let me just, you know, since you went there, Brother Parks, we just got to be real with this thing. You know,
right.
I had a pastor that I know. I would say friend, but a pastor that I know. And when I told this pastor, he said, where are you at now? I said, well, I'm over at Alma Heights. Man, I wish you would have come and talked to me before you joined over there.
Right.
Now,
right.
If I would have told him that I joined a National Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
guarantee you that comment would not have come out.
Right.
So the thing of it is, the comments that we make when we're communicating certain things, we don't think and we don't sometimes see that we're putting up walls for diversity by the things that we
mm-hmm.
say and the things that we do. So now, going back to visualization, whenever I see that brother, I don't hold any malice in my heart,
exactly.
but I do realize that this brother is not ready for diversity.
Wow.
This brother is not ready for diversity. And it's a deep thing. It's a deep thing because we don't need any more divisions in the body of Christ.
Right.
Whether it's by race, whether it's by denomination, whether it's by religion, we don't
mm-hmm.
need any more division within the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Brother Parks, let me tell you, I went on a cruise, you know, me and my wife, we go on a cruise every year.
Right.
And I think after the second time I went on a cruise, I came back and I stood in the pulpit and I said, you know what, I've been on two cruises so far, maybe it was three, I don't know. I said, but when we were on that cruise, there are people from all over the United States.
Exactly.
All over the United States, from Canada, and, you know, sometimes you get a sprinkle from some other countries. And usually I'll go to Bahamas or, you know, Western Caribbean, Eastern Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I stood
mm-hmm.
in the pulpit and I said, you know, we go to these cruises and we have fun and, you know, black, white, purple, it doesn't matter. We all are having fun and just getting along with everybody.
Exactly.
But then when the ship comes back into the port and we drive or fly back to our several destinations.
Wow. Wow.
And we get back into my streets of Philly, my
uh-huh,
congregation
uh-huh.
where everybody looks like me, your
uh-huh,
congregation
uh-huh.
where everybody has the same economic status.
Exactly.
It's like we forget about how we just had some of the times of our lives.
Exactly.
In a diverse culture.
Uh-huh.
So, Brother Parks, let me just, we have a caller that's waiting on the line. We can come back to this, but we're just going
okay,
to let them speak. So we have a caller with the last four, 3032. Caller 3032, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good evening. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Enjoying the conversation. I would like to comment on two parts. The first part is about experience. I know when the conversation initially started, you all were talking about your personal experience in the military. And my father happened to be in the military, and that was, I tell people all the time, that was the best thing as a parent that he could have given his children, the experience of diversity, to live in a place. We were raised in Germany, and to just live in a place where we had to learn a second language, learn the culture. We were on base where you had all kind of families, blacks, white, Hispanic, Mexicans. We went to school with even German kids, and we had, like, here in America where you had to learn Spanish, we had a German teacher who taught us German. And it was such a phenomenal experience. And this is a true story. it was not until we moved back to America that I had my first encounter with racism. How we ended up going to Savannah, Georgia, where my father was stationed, and my first boyfriend happened to be a Caucasian young man, and I dealt with so many racism, and I went home crying, and my mother had to sit me down and explain to me that I was not in Europe anymore, and this is, we live in the South, and this is the way people are. And it was a, it was more of a shock to me, because I never, and I'm sure that racism go on in Europe, that's not what I'm saying, but as a, I think I was, what, 11, 12, and as a young woman, a young lady, that was my first experience with racism, and it was by other African-Americans, and I was like, that was, I was like, wow, and it wasn't that they were hateful and spiteful, it was just simply that they didn't know any better. They, you know, they wasn't used to seeing that. And then a few years later, my mother put me in a performing arts academy. I went jumping and screaming. But, again, it changed my life where we got to travel the world. And I remember we got the opportunity to visit New York City to go on Broadway. And at the airport, there was kids literally crying, and they were afraid to get on the plane. And some of them said they never, that was their first time leaving Savannah. They never left the city. They never been on a plane. And that was shocking for me because, again, I had that experience. And I realized, and I told my dad when I came home, I had to be grateful, and I told him thank you. Because I realized by him joining the military, although he was doing it for himself and later had a family, that was the best thing he could have ever done because I had a chance, the opportunity to have an experience that most kids would never get a chance to have. And I always said, even to this day, I said that I don't have children, but I have nieces and nephews, and even I work with kids in the ministry. And I always said when the Lord put me in a position where I'm able to buy plane tickets and so forth, I want to them to experience that because it changed my life. And that was, you mentioned about a lot of people who don't have that experience with diversity and how young people are today, I believe, you know, it is the parents' responsibility to open that door. And if parents cannot open that door, because now you have a lot of single parents out here that's struggling trying to make it, then whatever youth organization, whether it's churches or different civic organizations, come together, get a fundraiser, and, you know, and just open the young people's eyes to diversity because it will literally change their life. And on the spiritual side of that, I thank God, you know, for my leaders, founder A.W. Wingfield, Dr. Bishop Gwendolyn T. Hope, and Senior Pastor Aretha Daniels of Center Refuge Church of Albany, Georgia, because we've been in ministry in Albany for over 30 years now, and the young people are their passion, and that's what we teach, and that's what we try to do. We open up the doors for them, and we are actually a non-denomination church as well. And one thing that we have done, and I have not seen this yet, especially in the African-American churches. You see different churches fellowship with each other, but if they're predominantly African-American, you do not see a lot of predominantly African American churches reaching out to other churches, and vice versa. And I remember one day I was at this time I was working in America's, and this is for the caller, the young lady that called in and asked Brother Parks what is their church doing. But I remember one day I was sitting there and I was praying, and the Holy Spirit said, get the phone book and just start calling different churches, youth ministries, and tell them your vision. Tell them that you want to connect the youth in the community, connect them together. So I probably literally called maybe over, I know it had to be over 75 churches, all, you know, all kind of backgrounds. It didn't
right.
matter. God told me just go through the phone book and call. And I had so many no's. No one even tried to call me back. And it was one pastor, one youth pastor, a white youth pastor, that said, oh, my God, I cannot believe you have the same vision I have.
Wow.
That was almost 5 years ago. We have connected every time he called me. We're there every time I call him. He's there, and it's just the first time he preached at our event center where we can sit over 900 people. It was black kids and white kids. And the first thing that he said when he opened his mouth, he said, now this is the way it's supposed to be. He said, when you go to heaven, this is what you're going to see. And that was the first time. They have Christian rock band, and that was the first time that my kids got to experience that. And we have, like, hip-hop dancers that we do mime, we do hip-hop and Christian
right.
hip-hop. And that was the first time his kids got to experience that. And so it was
wow.
different cultures coming together, and we're doing something new in the city, in the county, that I'm not going to lie, everybody did not jump on the board. I mean, he connected me with other Caucasian ministries, and a lot of them, you're like, well, we don't know about that. But then I met a lot of great friends, brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ from different backgrounds and cultures. But that's how the kingdom of God supposed to be. That's what God wants.
Yeah.
And I'm elated that you all are speaking about this because I know you all are in Columbus, but not only in Columbus, in the city of Albany, we're doing the same thing. And we're reaching out all over the world. We're reaching out because it's global. It's international.
That's
all
right.
over the world, we're reaching out. So hopefully we can connect as well, Brother Parker.
Well,
but I just had to commend you and just say keep on keeping on because I'm telling you from experience, I'm telling you from what I do know, that God will open that door. And
yes,
I'm telling you, if it's a divine connection, you will
That's
stay
right.
connected.
That's right.
You will stay
That's
connected because I thank God for my brother. And like I said, every time I call him, he's there. And it's the same love that he has for our ministry.
Well, sister,
right.
we thank
Amen.
You so much. We thank you so much. And that sounds like a good topic for another show, really digging deep in finding some practical ways of us communicating with other people or other congregations. Before you comment, Brother Parks, the phone lines, now they're starting to light up, as it always happens in our last 11 minutes. Let us go to Shelly. She has some comments maybe from the Facebook or Twitter account. Shelly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And real quickly, even as the young lady was just speaking here a minute ago, you know, about being in and out of the service, I think she had mentioned something about that early into her comment. But here on Facebook, we've got where comments came from an actual Army chaplain when asked about a question about diversity. this Army chaplain said diversity is welcomed and part of our church in Clarksville, Georgia. In Kentucky, however, it was not welcomed and was part of the reason that I was actually fired.
Mm-hmm.
So the pillars of the church, he quoted, quote unquote, didn't want anyone that wasn't family, much less diversity.
Wow.
And so I think that's an interesting perspective coming especially from a serviceman, if you will, and then seeing it with, you know, within a church. And, of course, obviously you went to a church where maybe that was close to, you know, a service area, especially as a chaplain, probably traveling to and fro. I think that was an interesting perspective. Let's go ahead and jump on the lines, Jay, and gather up as many comments as we can from the listeners that are on the line.
All right. Thank you, Shelby. We appreciate that. We have a caller with the last four of 4584. Caller with the last four of 4584. Are you there?
I am. Hey, JR. How you guys doing?
All right. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
Great. The show sounds good. But the one thing I'm thinking about is, from a diversity standpoint, is what about when the Spirit-filled church begins to accept pure theology? And then the theological church begins to accept that the Spirit does work. So sometimes, because I come from a Pentecostal background, and now I'm a member of a Presbyterian church. So those two things are crossing over a lot in my life. And I had a difficult time dealing with it in seminary and in church when I started to view Scripture through a different lens. That's diversity for me.
Wow.
Oop, I'm dropping the microphone.
And for those of y'all who don't know, that's Kimberly Skeen, the founder and the actual host, who's jumping on the last couple of minutes. What do you do when that happens? I believe once we're going to just have to continue on with this in the further shows, but I know that the church that I'm attending and member of right now went from a theological church to a Spirit-filled church probably about 10, 11 years ago. And I would really love for them to come on one day, or some of my church members or even my pastor, to even share what that experience was like. And I can tell you this. If the church was the way it was before it became Spirit-filled, there is no way in the world that I would be there. Because, see, the people had to change. We talk about this preparation thing, right? The people had to change in order for them to even accept me. Not saying that everybody accepted me or what I looked like, but the people's hearts had to change. And I can tell you, I'm the Southern Baptist Church. That's a big difference from coming from a National Baptist Church. And let me say this. You know, diversity is seen all over the place. And I remember before I actually became a member, it was like my first or second time there. A little boy, probably about 5 years old at the time, and I believe it was Cameron. Cameron came from all the way at the other side of the church, and he came in and came over to where I was at, and he shook my hand, and he said, "Welcome to Auburn Heights." You know, that's a young man that has the love of God in him, understands, or probably doesn't understand the thing about diversity, but remember what we were talking earlier, little children, it's not a big deal to them.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on how you were raised and how you were brought up. So to me, this was just, or to him, I'm sure it was, hey, this is somebody who doesn't look like us. He's a visitor here, and let me go and welcome him as I'm supposed to. Now, he probably didn't say all those things, but evidently that's what he saw somebody else doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he saw somebody else doing. Brother Park,
yes,
we're down to our last 7 minutes, so we'll let you go ahead and dive in on there.
You know, I tell you, I was reading in an excerpt from the Moody Bible Institute. It's from their pastors' conference series, and it said the church is called to be a Christ-centered community of diversity. Its very life proclaims the power of God to overcome division that sets people against each other. And then as I kept doing some more study about it, and I read over in Galatians, 3rd chapter 28, Paul writes to the Galatian church, "In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. I would say this evening, we have to get to a place where God wants us to be. A lot of times we have our own agendas. We have our own way of looking at things. But until we get to that place where God wants us to be, the way God wants to see through the lens of the Spirit, once we get to that place and God to see people as God sees them, then when we talk about diversity, that topic is going to be so broad and so wide and so many different variables mixed into it. We really have to be mindful of where we go with this and how we view people, especially through the lens of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Parks,
yes, sir.
I think that I'm going to give you an open invitation on the radio this evening to come back and share again with us next month.
Yes, and
here's the thing. This is why this is so important. And I say this is why it's important to me and why I believe it's important to God. See, this is not like church. Church,
yeah.
You'll go to church, you'll get 4 sermons on Sunday. If you're in my church, you'll get maybe get 8.
Okay.
You get a Sunday school on Sunday, you'll get Bible study on Wednesday. And you really don't have an opportunity to process what God is trying to say to you because you're getting all of these messages.
That's right.
And oftentimes, God, when he speaks to us, that causes us to think about whatever it was that he's speaking to us on. And we have to allow ourselves time to meditate on this. So I'm glad that Sister Skeen has opened up this opportunity for me to host the show once a month.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even more important for me to be able to just stay on where we are. And Sister Skeen and I, we've done that over the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We started off talking about shame. And after we got off the first call, we said, you know what, we can't go any further. We need to stay there. God wants us to stay here so the people can get helped and blessed. Talking about diversity is not something that you talk about one time and think is going to happen.
Oh, no, no.
We don't treat diversity like we do prayer.
That's
right. Pray about it, God got it, and let's roll with it. No, we have to actively apply something to it. We have to put some action behind it. So as we go back to talking about when we pray for these things, when you pray for diversity, we have to be willing to receive whatever it is, however God sends it.
That's right.
I want to respond to something the sister did. We got about 3 minutes, and then I'll just give it to you for some final comments. One of the things that one of the sisters said was when we pray for it, we have to be ready for it. But sometimes we're not going to be ready for it. You know why? Because sometimes God just says, right now is the time. Go ahead and do it.
Wow.
I've sent this person here, embrace her with their disability, with their gayness. I know my people say something about that, but that's all right. Y'all can text me, inbox me, call me later. I know. it is what it is, because we're supposed to be showing the love of Christ. So let me just say this, give this last comment from one of the individuals that responded to the initial 3 questions that we talked earlier. My church is an American Baptist church. So it is fully embraced by the last words Jesus gave us. Love ye one another as I have loved you. Without respect of person, black, white, brown, yellow, gay, straight, short, or tall. This was from Brother McWhite, who was one of our hosts on the show the last month when we did this back in March.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful statement. And I hope that our listeners are able to let God or meditate on that and let God speak to them through that. So, Brother Parks, with about a good minute left, go ahead and give us some final words, if you will, sir.
Once again, I just want to say I thank God for you. I thank God for Sister Skeen and this show. This is a major outlet for the people to get involved in, to call in and give their views and viewpoints of it. But I pray to God that they obey the Spirit of God and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. When God is calling us to the people, calling us to the nations, he's calling us to the nations. This is a global thing, international, national and international venue that he's calling to. And he's calling us to embrace all of different backgrounds and ethnic cultures and all of that. because it's gonna. We're all one in Christ. We're all one in Christ.
All right, well, so, Brother Park, we're about to get cut off, brother.
Okay, then go ahead. Now I'm done. I'm done. Thank you so much, sir, for your time. Thank you for this moment. God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. And we'll be back next week at 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. We thank you and we love you. We'll talk to you next time.